The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord.
John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. Please be seated. You know, there are certain ideas and words that attract our attention. And one word that's in vogue right now is transformational. If a new book or a new technology or even a politician is described as transformational, that's almost always seen as very positive. I bring it up because today is Pentecost Sunday, when we commemorate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. Alec just read to us what happened that first Pentecost Sunday from Acts chapter 2. The question that's raised here is, why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? In John 14, the Holy Spirit is described as a helper. Well, how does he help? Is he transformational? That sounds exciting. But if that's what the Holy Spirit does, how does he transform us? Does he make us different from the way we were? Or different someday from the way we are now? Is there a transformation occurring within you right this second? If there is, where will it lead? You know, when I was in seminary, I had a group of friends I met in Greek class, which is the very first course you take, generally, if you didn't take it as an undergraduate. I was part of a study group with these guys. This Greek course was pretty intense, and we spent a lot of time together and got to know each other pretty well. Well, most of these guys were lifetime LCMS Lutherans. I was a little different. As many of you know, I grew up in an old ALC, American Lutheran Church, a descendant of the Norwegian Synod. But then I spent most of my 20s and early 30s in a very large evangelical non-denominational church. And before that, for about 6 months anyway, I attended a Pentecostal church, a very Pentecostal church, with a friend. In fact, this congregation was so Pentecostal, the Assemblies of God kicked them out, which means that they were on the extreme end of the charismatic spectrum. On a typical Sunday, there was a lot of spontaneous, unintelligible babbling in tongues, and even dancing in the aisles, and I'm not making that up or exaggerating. It was fascinating to me. It was quite a spectacle for a kid who grew up in a Lutheran church. In fact, years later, one of my lifetime LCMS friends in our Greek study group advised me, "You know, if I were you, I'd keep quiet about some of the churches you've attended. It just makes you sound a little flaky." Well, I might be flaky, but actually I considered that experience extremely valuable. And when I returned to the Lutheran Church, I returned with a brand new appreciation for the clarity and biblical emphasis of the Reformation. But back to the question, is the Holy Spirit a transformational force? If so, how does it transform you? Does he cause you to babble unintelligible phrases? Does he inspire you to dance in the aisles? There is something to be said for the emotional release of expressing yourself that way. But is that what the Holy Spirit does? In the second chapter of Acts, we read how the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire above the heads of the apostles, and they began to speak in other languages, actual languages. So those visiting Jerusalem from other countries heard the gospel proclaimed in their native tongues. That was not unintelligible babbling. In fact, it was the opposite. The words were spoken in the languages that the hearers understood best. So speaking in tongues, as it was practiced in the church I briefly attended, was not what happened in Acts chapter 2. You know, it's also understood by most Americans, I think, that the Holy Spirit's primary task is to transform your behavior and eliminate sin in your life. That idea was born out of the holiness movement. In the 1840s, the holiness movement started among a small group of Anglicans in England. But it really caught on in a big way in America, promoted by a traveling preacher named Charles Finney in the late 1800s. The holiness movement has had a lasting impact on American Christianity. And the legacy of the holiness movement is the misunderstanding that the chief concern of the Christian faith is morality, that we're saved when we overcome our sin. So please understand this. The chief concern of the Christian faith is not morality. The chief concern of the Christian faith is forgiveness. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, the prostitute at Simon the Pharisee's house, the woman caught in adultery, in those real life incidents, it's always the immoral sinner who's forgiven by Jesus. The point being that Jesus forgives you. Or the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray. And the parable of the prodigal son. It's always the immoral character who's forgiven. And the moral but self-righteous characters in the parables are admonished to see themselves more clearly. Well, if the Holy Spirit's primary purpose is not to cause us to speak in tongues, or even to make us moral, then what's the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit? The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convey the gift of faith to you. Working through God's Word, the Holy Spirit imparts the gift of faith to those willing to receive it. Whoever believes in me, we just read from John 7, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water is a euphemism for the Holy Spirit. Only in someone who believes in Jesus does the Holy Spirit reside. The Holy Spirit is always tied to faith in Christ and to God's Word. That's the arena where he functions. The Holy Spirit is transformational in this way. He transforms you into a believer and works to deepen your faith. And the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, that grows out of a deep faith in Christ, a faith conveyed to you by the Holy Spirit. Here's why all of this is very good news for all of you. You are accepted and loved by God right now. It doesn't matter what you did 25 years ago. It doesn't matter what you did 5 years ago or 1 year ago. It doesn't matter what you did last night. Not in terms of God's love and mercy toward you. It doesn't matter that in a few minutes you're going to walk out that door, and sooner or later, probably much sooner than later, you're going to say something, you're going to do something, you're going to think something that reveals you to be a self-centered sinner. The reality is that God still loves you because Jesus died for your sin, taking your punishment upon himself. And now you're covered up in the righteous robes of Christ. And that's all that God sees, no matter what. When you cry out, he'll respond. When you weep, he'll dry your tears. When you're lost, he'll take your hand. Every time. No matter what you've done. God loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who conveys to us faith and deepens our faith. Lord, cause us to see ourselves as we really are and revel in your forgiveness and mercy toward us. Cause your forgiveness and mercy to well up within us a deep, deep sense of gratitude toward you and genuine humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.